was looking in the back, and you know, it's a beautiful thing. I think sometimes when we think of becoming a Christian, Gina became a Christian, and over time she tried to live her life as best she could before him, and over time he wanted the Bible, became a Christian. His prayers for many years, I remember him talking about how he wanted them to have time to become Christians, and back he brought his dad, Chuck. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready to always give an answer. Christian. I asked these questions earlier because if it's true that we're only doing what our parents did, is it because are we doing it for the right reason? Are any of these reasons other than doing it because we believe that we can prove fully from the Word of God, based on the evidence that we have and the trueness of the Word of God, that we're doing what He wants us to do? It's because of a name given by God. I'm not going to use that. I'm going to talk about names as they've been used. And is the name important? Well, yes, according to God. Adam and Eve, for instance, that word Adam, we translate as man all the time, but we think about these names that were given. It really just means earthy or red. Why? Because that's the way He created him. He took earth, He put the man together, and He formed him the way He wanted him, and He gave him breath of life. How about with Eve? Well, life or living. Not a good name if you think about why he was named that. He was a heel catcher. He grabbed a hold of Esau's heel on his way out. And we know he lived that kind of a life. And we know that he was not necessarily... The name was really a good name for him. That surplants. He made sure that in some way he deceived so that he was able to get what God had promised. But God said, that's not good enough. I'm going to change that to Israel, which means who prevails with God. And we remember the story about that, him wrestling with the angel. These all came from Hitchcock's Bible names. But when we think about what we're called, we read earlier about that we're the house or church of... So when we think about that, and we find in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In this physical building that we're dwelling in, it wasn't too long ago, one of the stones fell off of the building. And someone graciously put... Fell off, it doesn't look right. You take a house and you can take this house and stones missing in it. Now, it didn't take too long. That house. Well, we think of the building of us makes up a part of that building, built on that foundation we talked about earlier, with that chief cornerstone, so that everything's true. And we can be one of those house, as long as we're doing what God says. Now, if God, that stone's not working, it's removed, and it really doesn't matter because it's not going to show up as missing on the house itself, but it is missing. He also said we're the temple of God, the group of people. And he discussed that about the church at Corinth, and he said that they were the temple of God. Very important. Use the term building. We are a building. Terms important or designations because it describes us fully. If we look at all of them, we can start to understand something about ourselves. In Ephesians 2, verse 21 and 22, he says, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, using all these terms, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God. Christ had said back in John 14 that He wanted us to become such that individually Christ in Him or God in Him could be with us. That's got to be a proper building. It's got to be built properly. It's got to be built according to the way God says. The building to be accepted because it's got to be built on the foundation of God. Because we know who built it. We know who the master builder was. Other terms that you... 3 is the city, the living God. Heavenly Jerusalem. General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn registered in heaven. All of these talk about a relationship. They all talk about the importance of being in the right group. The importance of being added to the right group. In the verse 22 of that says, you've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. But it also, as we talked about, we are the body of Christ. He is the head. We belong to Him. It emphasizes something about us. As a church, we're the household of Christ. In Hebrews 3:6, talked about the difference between Christ and Moses. Now, Moses did a lot of building. Moses worked hard to bring those Israelites together. Christ, though, son over His own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And then we find the term that we most use, Church of Christ. Why do we use that term? Well, it certainly is a biblical term. 16, he says, the churches of Christ salute you, so it is a term we certainly can use. Why would we use that term? Because we're the called out of Christ. Who are the called out of Christ? What we started with. Why am I Christian? Because I belong to Him. And this group has to belong to Him. Now let's talk about individuals. And let's talk about some terms that we might use that might help us to better understand the relationship. It was interesting when communicates with Grandma. It seems like a term, and I read this frequently, and we're talking about this. Brothers? Yes. He wants, in particular, writing this to Cody and then to the other two that are going, he wants us to know he feels like we're brothers. And we use terms like brothers and brethren. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, we are all brethren. And that's why we need to make sure that we're all doing the same thing, because we're all brethren. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, now I plead with you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. You cannot be brethren if you're not joined in the same mind. We have one to another as Christians. Also the term disciple. When we think of this term, Christ used it to know that they were following Him. They were doing what He said. They were learning from Him. And this was common, that a person would become a disciple of someone else. Well, we only have one spiritual leader. We only have one that we can be a disciple of in this sense. In Acts 14. Verse 21. Acts 14, verse 21. It makes a very special relationship. And they preached the gospel and made many disciples. Who did they make them to? Themselves? Did Paul have his own disciples and somebody else? No. They made disciples of Christ. It means a relationship that now with Christ. I want to learn from Him. And that's the way I start. The Testament, I mean, if you think about it, it was almost used exclusively under Mosaic law to talk about it, the Jews. But in the New Testament, Paul changes it. He says to the church of God, which is at Corinth, sanctified in Christ Jesus, call the saints. With all who in every place call on the name of the Lord. A very special relationship created and made blameless and holy is Christ. That's what saints are. And now you have a special relationship with God as well. And then we take the term child. God. So let's read that passage of Scripture. It is through our obedience. And we're all sons or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. How? For as many of you as baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And it doesn't matter, as it goes on, what your relationship was before. It doesn't matter if you're Jew, Greek, bond, free, slave. It doesn't matter. Male or female, you become a child of God. It means a relationship now to something even closer to God, but it makes Him our Father. You pray, say, Heavenly Father. But then I get something from all of this. I'm an heir now. You know, in all my years of never. She left me some property. I was an heir of hers. But I've got something that's more precious. I have something that belongs to God that He's willing to give to me. But it's not a piece of land on this earth. It's not a... It really is not all of these things that I look at that are going away. In Romans 8, verse 17, he talks about this, about how we are children of God. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. What does it mean to be an heir? You get wealth. Unlimited spiritual wealth. Everlasting life given to you freely from God the Father. And I used these earlier. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. We're all of those things now. And those all give us a special place with God and personal communication with God. And we think about being a priest now. There was no one closer under the Mosaic law or any law that was given than the priest was. The priest had the ability to offer sacrifice for sin for someone else. In this case, we can go straight to God ourselves. But the name we really want to talk about is this one. When we think about all of those other names had been used, all of those other in the Old Testament, and when we look at that, or in the New Testament is that, but when we think about God said, I have something. In Isaiah 62, verse 2, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness. Just a He said, when the Gentiles see your righteousness, all kings your glory, you shall have a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And the Gentiles saw His righteousness. Kings had been seeing His glory because certainly Paul would be talking to them. They had been talking before kings this whole time. But after the first Gentile was taught the gospel and his household became Christians, we find from Acts 11, 26, they did not know that because that term had to this point. After that happened, just like Isaiah had said, when he found him, he brought him to Antioch so that it was for a whole year. They assembled the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians. This is a relationship with Christ. When we look at this and we think about this, what this name became so important and so many people knew about it that Agrippa thing. And then we find about this as well in Peter 4:16. If anyone suffers, let him glorify God. That's why we have a special name. A name that was given exactly when God said it would be given, some 700 years before it ever happened, and that's the new name. I will remember what you did for me. I will with my fellow Christians. Our Savior. We belong to Him. So what's this all about? One last point. I'm a Christian because of the method of entrance. We entrance into things. You can get into a lot of different clubs and things based on whatever they require. And if you don't do what they say, and you don't keep doing what they say, you cannot stay a member of that organization. We understand that in life. We have no problem with that. We understand it completely. But with Christ, it is very special to become just a Christian. How we become a part of His church, the called out, and how God then can add us to His church. In Romans 10:17, where does faith come from? It comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Through all the book of Acts, not a one of them became a Christian until they heard. They heard about who? Christ. They heard about what He had built, the church. But in new. They understood and knew that they could not get apart first gaining some faith, believing, understanding, and knowing that it's the only method of God. Romans 10:9, the truth is that as much as we might get that into our minds, as much as we might think about it and say, okay, I acknowledge Jesus Christ, it says we really have to have that kind of faith in Him. We have to believe in our heart that God... Oh, I can go say it. Well, yeah, I believe that, but I don't really believe it. That word, when it entered my mind, never gained any ground. It never grew. When it starts growing, and the faith gets there because I have looked at God's Word, now I now believe with all of my heart that not only did He die, not only was He buried, but that He was resurrected to die no more. And that God raised Him from the dead just like it had been said. And then I start thinking about my life. What would I do in my life if indeed this sinless one died for me and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day. Is there something I need to do? That's by some honest people. Some honest people that looked at themselves and they said, we could have a problem here. We need to know, what is it we need to do now that You have told us? You have said to us that we're going to die in our about it. That's all. People say what they say. He said they needed to do something. They needed to repent. And as I said earlier, repentance is the old. Sermon that you understand and know you cannot save yourself. You. Testament. It never changed. Repentance has been taught, will continue to be taught. It's something that when a person recognizes that they can do nothing and they need our Lord and Savior, they need to make a change. As they went out and taught, Paul said to Agrippa, he said, I'll tell you what we've been preaching. He said, when we went to the Gentiles, they should repent, turn to God, and do believe. He said, that's not what we just preach. You just have to believe on Him. He said, you have to do something about it. But you have to look, what are you going to do to change your life to His will? And then a confession has to be made. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. 9 and 10. For with the heart believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Was this something Jesus taught? Well, yes. Jesus has been talking about repentance. Jesus has been talking about faith in Him. Jesus has been talking about time He writes this to the Romans, same message many, many years later. 30 plus years later, still the thing, same thing. Didn't change. Didn't change when He wrote the Romans about what they had done to achieve their salvation. Now that they recognized they were in trouble, now that they recognized they needed to make changes in their life, what did they do? They just went along with their lives and said, I'm fine. But you know, he says, God be thanked. Sure, sir, have obeyed that form of righteousness that was delivered to you. And then, being what was that form of righteousness? Well, the form they went about has been broken down by man in chapter 6. Dead in sin. Let it stink. No, you. So what do we do with it? Hey, I believe. What changed? I'm confessing Him as the Son of God. Now, dead thing. Water. Amazing when we read this in Scripture 6, 2 through 6. He talked about, well, if grace is that great, could we continue in sin? Certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know as many as us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into death? Therefore, we were buried with Him. Buried with Him through baptism into death. I want to be with Him. I have to go through that form that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. You want to be raised, resurrected to walk in newness of life, He said? You have to go through this form of doctrine. That's why we teach it. That's why I believe it. That's why I did it. In Colossians 2, it is the only way given that once we've reached this in our minds, we need to be saved. It's the only way to remit our sins in Acts 38. And the only way it can happen is buried baptism, which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God. If I went around this room today and I asked, how did you do it? They believe, with all their heart, guaranteed, that they believe God worked on them at that point because of their obedience. Had nothing to do with anything else. That water wouldn't take away one sin, but we believed, if we obeyed, it is through or by the faith of the working of God who raised Him from the dead. If He could raise Jesus Christ back up from the dead, exactly the same thing today. It has never changed. It is the power of God and the salvation. It's always been the power of God and the salvation. Everyone that believes Jew first and also to the Greek. But it can't be just as mental assent that it's correct. It has to be obedience with it. I'm a Christian because Christ built His church, the church. One, singular, period. I'm either a part of it or I'm not. I'm either, as that stone shown earlier, I'm either one of those stones or I'm not. I can't just put myself up there. I am added to it by Him. He puts the mortar there. He puts everything necessary there to hold me there if I'll do it. Because the church was established at the right place and time. Because His church only follows His Word, the Bible. You ever want to check on whether people are doing that or not? Let them tell you what they're doing. Ask them where they find it in the Scriptures. If they can't get the authority for it, I will guarantee it's not His church. Guarantee it. Because of the name given by God at the exact time He said He would give it, and because of the method of entrance has never, ever changed. I am a Christian. Because I believe in Christ. Try my best to obey Christ's law. And thankfully now, all I have to do is ask for my forgiveness. I don't have to be baptized over and over for the remission of my sins. I can pray anytime, just like Mike led us in prayer earlier, and He will forgive if we will repent from here and we truly will admit that we have sinned and we truly will confess that sin. I assemble with His church because I believe we are trying to obey His laws as best we can. We need to make sure always that we're doing God's will. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you.